Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Family vlogging featuring child influencers is a relatively recent phenomenon with the explosion in popularity of social media. And while some parents do it because they simply want to share their day-to-day lives, for other people it has led to brand partnerships and sponsorship deals. So what are the regulations around posting a child's image online, and why have some parents who do it called for more research in the area? Well, our reporter Maura Fay has been looking into the situation and is here now with me in the studio. Hello, Maura.
Hey,
good
Claire.
To see you. So when we're talking about family vlogging and child influencers, what is the kind of stuff that we're talking about?
So this is where parents are sharing images of their children online. It's known as sharenting, and it can grow into content with commercial gain. So gifted products or experiences, sponsored posts, brand ambassador roles, those kind of things. In other media where child labour is used, like industries like acting or modelling, there's a lot of regulation. Say if a child was to work on a film production like Harry Potter, they'd be on set, which was risk assessed. They would have rights to the money that they earned. There will be a school tutor there to make sure that they weren't missing out on their education. Children in digital media don't have those same protections, though there are some rules around the manner in which children can be displayed in commercial posts or videos. A research project known as the Child Influencer Project was launched last February at the Southeast Technological University in Carlow, and it aims to look at the impact of child digital labour and the impact it has on the performers in Ireland and the UK. It's headed by Dr. Frances Rees, a law lecturer at Essex Law School. She's been researching this area and speaking to parents involved in it on an anonymised basis. I spoke to Dr. Rees and asked her how parents typically end up in this sphere.
The rationale for it can be as simple as parents feeling isolated. And, you know, as a woman, when you're pregnant, you lose your social circle, you lose potentially your place in the workplace, even temporarily. You know, your family structure changes, your relationship sort of takes a knock as well, and you feel very alone. So a lot of, the mother blogging start, the mommy blogging starts from pregnancy and can even start with the ultrasound photo. They might be wanting to reach out to a peer network of other parents to talk about their parenting journey, and that might turn into content where they're exchanging parenting tips and tricks. Sometimes, however, what that can do is that can lead to quite sensitive information if you're thinking about sharing tips around potty training or toddler tantrums or whatever. Some of that can lead to quite sensitive information being shared about the child that should be kind of edited and also should be thought about, if you're going to do it at all, that it should be done in a sensitive way and or should be removed at certain points once you've passed those stages. Because when the child's going to school, you don't want photos of them on the potty. So that's one sort of set of parents that are trying to reach out to communities and share stories and talk about parenting. Another set would be like people who have kids who they see as future athletes or future Irish dancers or future models or actors, and they're wanting to build a profile and potentially fund quite expensive hobbies and sports through branded content. You see as well parents with stories to tell because their journey or their child has got a narrative that they feel would help others. So for example, a child with ADHD or a child who has been incorporated into the family through adoption or through surrogacy. So there might be stories or same-sex parents where there's stories to tell. But again, that's quite sensitive data to be sharing about the child, and that could expose them in certain ways. And then the final one would be the parents who are already famous in their own right. They already have an identity, and especially if it's a professional identity, they'll have a separate account potentially for their child. And they'll be used to the industry, and it'll be a lot more professional looking in terms of what their content is and how branded that child's life would be.
Gosh, it's just so complex, you know, just even that outlining of all of the different ways this can happen. What problems or risks then has she, as Dr. Rees, identified in her research, Maura?
So there's the standard child labour considerations about how financial earnings are protected, data sharing, which could lead to identity theft, time commitment potentially impacting on education attainment. Also questions like, does their home insurance cover filming in the home? Dr. Rees says the creation of digital content can also impact on the family dynamic.
So what does this do to the family dynamic where a parent is having to direct, edit, prop and stage all of this content, turning the kind of parent from mother or father into a manager, really? And what does that do to the parent's own career? We see parents who are giving up their careers in order to become full-time influencer family accounts. So kind of potentially putting a lot of pressure on the child around these finances. And then identity, dignity. So thinking about privacy, ongoing consent, other people seeing the content, exposed risks of or increased exposure to risks of bullying, other things like whether the child might be tricked, pranked or humiliated in some way. So you see a lot of these kind of cheese slice challenges or egg crack challenges or whatever they are, where the child is potentially the butt of a joke in some way. So using that type of content to gain attention. It might not be branded, but it's gaining attention. And then obviously kind of the more nefarious stuff around sexualization and how is the child being posed and staged in some of the content and what are they wearing. So it's a wide gamut of risks that I work through in terms of showing types of content or explaining types of content where I've seen that and how to manage those risks.
So that's one take on the situation, Maura, but you've also been getting the views of influencers on this. So who have you been chatting to?
Yes, I spoke to Niamh de Bruin Reid, who's based in Kilkenny. She's 105,000 followers on Instagram and she does digital creation in her spare time on fashion and lifestyle. I spoke to her last night and she told me that while she's happy to share information about her own life, she's extremely careful about the information and images she shares about her two-year-old daughter, Harper, online.
You know, it is something that my husband and I made a conscious decision of was when she was born that we didn't want to, you know, fully show her face online. Like what I do, you know, talk a lot online, you know, about family life and, you know, kids. I do try to avoid, you know, showing her face or our location or, you know, small things like that that you might think of on the spot. But my husband and I both decided that we were going to be very careful what we do share online.
And in terms of like your experience of influencing and that, like, why did you decide that this is something that you wanted to be careful about?
Yeah, I suppose there was twofold to it. The first one was, look, that the internet can be a really scary place. You know, there's a lot of nasty, ill-willed people out there. I've experienced it firsthand as somebody who, you know, enjoys social media as a hobby that kind of grew into something more. And yeah, I just didn't want to open up my child to that abuse. Number one, because she hasn't consented to it. And number two, just to safeguard myself as well, because you so much love your child and you don't want, you know, to read or be seeing anything nasty or mean being said about your kids. And as well, a third fold to that, the way things have gone with AI and what people can do now with internet images, it's so scary. So look, that was just a conscious decision that we made. And it probably, you know, she's two now, we haven't changed our minds on that.
Would you say that it's worked well for you, that approach?
I think so. Look, you're always going to get people who have their opinion that, you know, they don't agree with how you parent, they don't like how you parent, whether that's coming from, you know, an honest place or just a malicious place. But you always, you do get that. But, you know, you need to be confident in the decisions that you've made and how you parent, what you share, and you need to be able to back up to yourself, not to anybody else, because you'll never have to justify, like, you know, your decisions for your child with anybody else. But, you know, you need to be confident enough to be able to say, this is what I've decided and that's the way it's going to be, as opposed to taking everyone's opinion on board.
Niamh, do you think that it would be helpful for there to be more guidance for parents out there on this topic?
For sure. You know, you can never have enough education and research backed evidence to support, you know, people who do want to share their kids online, who, you know, that they feel comfortable in doing so, because having, you know, as you mentioned, research-based supports definitely would go a long way in guiding people, because look, it's such a new industry. You know, there's still a lot of awareness and a lot of education that, you know, could be brought to the forefront for Irish parents.
So that's Niamh de Bruin Reid there. So in terms of guidance, Maura, what does the Advertising Standards Authority have to say about children appearing in this type of branded social media content?
So they say that the remit of the ASA code relates to the content of advertising and includes extensive provisions relating to children. There is a general requirement that advertising be prepared with a sense of responsibility to consumers and to society. The detailed rules relating to children and how they are featured in advertising are in Section 7 of the code. Included in the rules are the following: children should not be portrayed in a manner that offends against accepted standards of good taste and decency, and also children should not be shown in morally or physically dangerous situations or behaving dangerously in the home or outside. While there is specific guidance around influencer marketing, there are no current plans to extend those regulations.
And we heard from Dr. Frances Rees earlier on, if people want to find out more about the Child Influencer project that she is doing, how do they do that?
So the information about the project is available on the University of Essex website, and Dr. Rees will later this year be publishing a digital safeguarding toolkit there, which will give parents and brands guidance and supports on the subject.
Maura, thank you very much. Very interesting. That's our reporter, Maura Fay. Coming up before the end of the programme, Chef Brian McDermott will be here to talk about how to get the very best out of our lovely Irish root vegetables. Next, though, we're going to look ahead to the Shannon elections.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.